was up and he came in the house and he say, "What you doing all that hollering for?" And I got mad at him. I told him, "Shut the window then if you don't want to hear." You know, so I'm telling you, y'all, the enemy wants to divide our house. But I want you to know that there is deliverance, there is victory in living for him. He wants us to be at war with each other so our children won't get that godly example. And I had to begin. I kept blaming it on PMS. I kept saying, "Sister Gwen, I'm acting like this because of PMS." And women know what I'm talking about. PMS, and some of you husbands been having to deal with it because they've been on your case. But you know what the Holy Ghost spoke to me, Sister Sanders? Because it was all on the news. This doctor was on the news. They was all on the talk shows, and it was going on, and I was like, "Oh, that's what's wrong with me. I got a reason to be acting like this." Because they was on the TV, and they were saying, "Mother, that is PMS." The devil had me blinded. You know, he had me with my mind thinking, "Okay, well, the doctor said, Mother Johnson, that you got PMS, so you can act like that if you want to. It's not you." And I was just going on. I wasn't dealing with it. I wasn't at the word because of who I was. And one day the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And he say, "Mm-mm. The PMS is not you. What your PMS is, personal meanness syndrome."
All right.
And I had to go on my face and I say, "Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. This is not the example that I want my children to have. Lord, deliver me." And I want you to know, whatever area that, like you said, we didn't have no manual to teach us, Brother Abraham, how to be that parent. But the Word of God was our guideline. And I began to read the Word. And the Word became alive in me. And when you allow the Word of God to just you read it and you read it and you study it, and then the word begins to get in your heart, and when those situations arise, then you are able to stand. You are able to make wise choices. You are able to realize that I'm not gonna scar my children for life. Because, you know, my daughter told me, she said, "Mama, I used to think you was crazy. Because I had the PMS." And y'all, I done told you what the Holy Ghost told me it was. Personal meanness syndrome. Not the kind that they all on the talk show and trying to get people acquitted for murder of.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
A wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
A wonder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto us all good things. I present to you our Bible teaching for tonight, our own pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Come on and put those hands together.
Amen.
And receive him.
God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this opportunity to study your word. Meet us in the teaching of your word and allow your spirit to guide us into all truth. We thank you for what you shall reveal, disclose, and unfold for us. And then give us power to practice these principles you share with us tonight, that we might profit from them and give you all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Well, give the Lord a real hand of praise then. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated. We're continuing our study and understanding the word, Bible study structure to help you get as much out of the word as we can possibly gain from it where we are, as the Spirit of God takes us further into the knowledge of God. We must seek some things to find some things. You can look for stuff and still not see it. How many times have you just been looking and didn't see something? How many times you've been looking for something and couldn't find it? So you have a better chance of finding if you're looking for something. And when we just read the Bible, we're just looking at, we're not seeking. And God wants us to know how to go in and get knowledge, come out and utilize that knowledge. And so it's important. Remember, we started with Proverbs 4 and 7, which says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And so we talked about the wisdom in the word. And we talked about point number one, the insight of the word. The insight of the word was to help us to understand how God thinks and what God wants us to know, a better knowledge of that word. We moved to point two, for the instruction in the wisdom of God's word. His insight teaches us that there is something he's trying to say to us. He's trying to give us an instruction so that we might be able to get everything out of that word that God has in it for us. The instruction is so important, because without following the instructions, you're not going to get the promises fulfilled in your life. And then we talked about inspiration, because the inner man, the spirit man, needs to be inspired by the word of God. The soul needs to be fed, but the soul needs to be fed with the word of God, with the instructions of God, and with the insight of God. What the body needs as soul food, the spirit of man needs altogether different. And so to be inspired, to be able to have winning ideas, to be able to have the ability to overcome and to be productive and to do this and do that, comes from the spirit, from within. And that's what the wisdom of God does, inspires us to achieve higher heights, greater depths, etc., etc., etc. So when we study, we should always be looking for the wisdom in the word. Now tonight we're going to be talking about the working of the word, because here's where the rubber meets the road. The working of the word is so important, because when you talk about the working of the word, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman or worker that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there are three things I get out of this, because it's important for you to recognize that the very word study means a dedication of time and attention to the pursuit of acquiring knowledge. That's what you're after when you study. You're acquiring, you're pursuing acquiring knowledge. When you get through studying, do you feel like you've learned something if you haven't learned something? No, of course not. Why would you feel like you've learned something if you hadn't learned anything? But when you get through studying and you've learned something, do you feel like you've learned something? Of course you do, because you're at a whole new knowledge base. Your understanding has opened up to a whole new level. So when you get through studying, you ought to, if you're not there yet, you ought to be on your way somewhere further than you were when you started studying. But remember, it's a dedication of time and attention to the pursuit of acquiring knowledge. In other words, you don't just pick it up and read it like a novel. You don't just pick it up and read it like a newspaper. You've got to do some other things. And so only after you become astute, that's the first point I want to make about that word, astute. And what is astute? It's having or showing the ability to assess a situation and turn it into your favor or to your better good. All right? Now that's exactly what God wants you to do with his word. He wants you to get in his word. He wants you to learn the principles, and then he wants you to turn that into your own good, to your own advantage. That's why Romans 15 and 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Hope of what? Hope of having what those had in the word, hoping of doing what those did in the word, hoping of that God did for them, he'll do for us, because he is no respecter of persons. So then when I begin to understand that, I take that word to my advantage. I turn it around to my advantage. That's why in scripture many times it'll say a certain man, a certain woman, a certain village, a certain place, a certain this. Why? Because he's not trying to highlight the person or the place. He's trying to spotlight a principle. That means anybody can practice the principle and profit from it, if they do like the person in the word did. They don't want you to think, God doesn't want you to think that miracle belonged only to that person. He wants you to know, He is no respecter of persons. And so when you realize that, then you turn that to your advantage. So astute is important for you to recognize as you study. God is looking for astute students of the word. But then the next thing is approved. Now here is what's important. You study not so you can argue folk with the word. You study not so you could brag on the word and be able to quote this and quote that and all the rest of that. You study to be approved unto God. You study so that God is pleased with your knowledge, with your increase of knowledge, your knowledge of Him. See, when you are approved of God, it means that you have met the approval of God. God wants you to know more about Him each and every day. Just as God knows everything there is to know about you, He wants you to consistently learn more about Him. So to learn more about Him, He's got to be the one to put His stamp of approval on you. Can't nobody else do that but God. That's why you shouldn't be trying to impress nobody but God. When you learn to impress God, it's because, God, I'm chasing after you. I'm seeking after you. I want what impressed God about David more than anything else was the fact that he was desirous of chasing after God's heart. He was considered, called a man after, meaning he was pursuing God's heart. Now listen to this. Most of us pursue God's hand. God, I need this. God, I need, God, will you do this? God, blah, blah, blah. It's always because we want what's in His hand. David didn't ask God for what was in his hands. David wanted what was in God's heart. So when he missed the mark and when he fell short and all the rest of this, listen, and he repented, God had no problem, listen, with establishing David's throne. And so even as he was human, he made mistakes, don't mean he was perfect, but he was doing all he could to be perfect, and more than that, to be perfectly connected to the heart of God. That meant more to God than anything else. So when you desire to know God's heart, how do you do it in this day and time? Through His word. Through His word. And so you must be approved unto God. Somebody say approved unto God. I'm studying so that I might be approved unto God. God knows who's fake Jakin. God knows who's just going through the motions. God knows who just pick up the Bible 5 minutes before they go to bed at night and read and go to sleep while they're reading and wake back up and all that. No, God said, if you really want to know me, you'll give me quality time. You'll turn that TV off and take time out and spend getting to know me. Meditate, mutter the word, repeat the word day and night. See, that's when you really start getting to the place where you're approved unto God. And God places it in you, and guess what? He can bring it right back out of you then. How many times have you been in a place where you wished you had something to say? A certain situation happened, certain thing where it came to a point where you wanted to minister to somebody, but you didn't have enough word in you to come. Nothing came up. You know why? Because nothing went down. It can't come up if it don't go down. It can't come out if it don't go in. And so until we put the time in, that's why it's one thing to say something, and it's a whole nother thing to say the right something. And that's what God wants us to do, be approved unto Him. And then He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's accuracy. Rightly, that's accurate. God wants you to be accurate in dividing the word of truth. Why is that so important? Because one of the things that you must understand is that everything, and I've shared this with you before, that God has placed in the Word is in the Word. But all of it has not come out of the Word. You've got to exegete the text, go down and excavate, bring out of that text what's in there. Not eisegete the text, put in there what God didn't mean. God is not impressed with you trying to say what you think he said. God is impressed when you care enough to find out what he truly said. And that means that you're going to have to do something more than just read. You're going to have to really rightly, accurately divide the word of truth. Listen, because when we dealt with the first principle of wisdom, we talked about his purpose, his plan, and his promises. Well, when we start in working of the word, it's the same thing. Point one, we've got to know his purpose, his plan, and his promises. All right? They're not repeating. They are reinforcing one another. Every level you get to, it is to reinforce this reality. We need to know the plan of God, the purpose of God, the promises of God for our life. God knows the purpose. God knows the plan. God knows the promises he's made to us. But the question is, do we? The Bible says his benefits are new every day. The question is, do you know what those benefits are? If you don't know his benefits are new every day, what does that matter to you? You don't even know what they are. And so, you know, a lot of us just grab the promises in the word. Every promise in the word isn't meant for you. Here are three questions you ought to ask yourself about every promise in the word of God. Is it a promise past? Meaning, is it a promise that was made for people in a certain place, in a certain period, and at a certain person's places and periods? Was it a promise he's made for those who are in the past? Is it a promise present? Is this promise good for me today? Is this a relevant promise for me to expect God to deliver on? Thirdly, is it a potential promise? Something that God's going to do in the future, or is this promise meant for future generations? Because there are promises in all three arenas, past, present, and potential. Now, here is the thing. I also have to ask myself, is this promise conditional? Do I have to do something for this promise to come to pass? Or is this a covenant promise? Just because I'm his child, he's going to do that for me because I belong to him. You see, well, if I don't accurately divide the word of truth, I won't know that. And then I'll be speaking and declaring and decreeing stuff that ain't gonna ever come to pass because I have not accurately divided the word of truth. God would say, if you would have looked a little closer, you would have known that promise was for a limited time only. And those people are past. So you trying to call God, God, you say you're not a man that you should lie. I didn't lie. You didn't study. You didn't get the right answer. I didn't make that promise to you. I made that to the children of Israel going through the wilderness. Are y'all hearing me today? So my whole point is you've got to be accurate in your studies. And so that brings us to point one of our working of the word. And that's research and expose. We are going to research and expose the wisdom of God so much so that we can further understand the plan, the purpose, and the promises of God. Why is research and exposure so important? It's important because that's the only thing that we have a legal right to as children of the Most High God. We have a right as believers to go into the Word and utilize that Word for our journey and pilgrimage here on planet Earth and for the expectation of our dwelling with Him eternally. It is His Word that I am to research and expose every benefit and every plan and every purpose and every promise He's made to me so that my life can be full to overflowing in the earth realm with a continuation of the success in that time to come. So that's important for me to know as a believer. I've got to research. I've got to do that myself. I can't depend on somebody else to do that. My soul is dependent upon that research. What about somebody that's not checking it out and studying and doing it and half doing it and saying anything and reading you stuff, gotten off the internet and don't know no variance of that, no verification of that, no all the rest of that, but it sounds good. Well, God don't go on what sounds good. God goes on what He said. And whether it sounds good or not, that's what He's under obligation to back up. And you know what sounds good to God? When He said, Father, You said. And when you can go back and tell Him where He said it at. And at least if you can't go back and tell Him where He said it, you can at least say, Father, You said in Your Word. Because I read. Or I have discovered that You've said such and such and so. You know that for yourself. And so research and expose those plans and those purposes and promises are important to you because they reinforce the wisdom of God in your life. Second thing in the working of the Word is you have resources and examples. So important. What are the resources and examples for? So that you might better understand His mind, His means, and His methods. What's important about this second point? Resources. My greatest resource is the Word of God. When I understand that the resource God has given me to research is God's mind, divinely written. His divinely inspired written word is the revealed part of His mind that He wants His children to understand. It's a coded word. In other words, the unbeliever can read it and never really know it. The believer must study it, and the Holy Ghost will reveal the truth of that word, the understanding of that word, how to apply that word, because the word doesn't work without the instructions of how to work it. You see, one of the good things about having knowledge is not just having knowledge. That's good. That's necessary. So you've got knowledge, but do you have know-how? See, knowledge is one thing, but knowing how to use that knowledge is a whole nother thing. Now, to have know-how, listen, because there's three parts to it, doesn't profit you anything if you don't do it. So you got to have knowledge, know-how, and the ability to do. All that's in the working of the Word, and we'll deal a little bit more with that do part in the next part. But here's what's important to you to understand. Say, my Bible is my resource. God's Word is my resource. Now, when you begin to realize that you can depend on the Word of God, that you can depend on what God said. It, the Bible, is your resource to go to God to find every example of what it is you have need of every answer God's going to answer. You can find out how God feels about everything that's going on. You can find out God's word about your stance, how you should stand on issues, what he expects from you, how you should